This is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller, and this is a special podcast about a special program regarding healthcare from Poly. This is part two of a two-part podcast on a grant program that Poly has established. And we have with us today Cheryl Henshaw of Poly. Cheryl, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Nicole Ettinger of PhoneTel. Nicole, thank you for joining me today.
Yes, thank you, Doug.
So we're going to be talking about healthcare and about a grant program about healthcare. And Cheryl, you're the director of Poly Grants Assistance Program. So briefly, what is that?
It's a program that Poly has put together. We have a team of people that focuses on following the money, right? So understanding what grant or funding programs are out there, and then looking vertically, who's qualified for the funding, what the funding is meant to do, what the priorities of the funding are, that sort of thing. And then helping people, you know, who are interested in Poly technologies and the way they solve problems, you know, within vertical organizations, helping them either understand how to get access to the funding or how to justify the use of funding, how to apply for competitive funding, that sort of thing. So all things funding. That's all right. What we do.
Now, part of your focus is healthcare. And there's been literally Correct. A revolution in healthcare this year.
There really has. And in fact, the guy, I forget his name. There's an author of a book. He's in marketing for Stern School of Business. He just wrote a book. And the big statement that I heard on Smirconish a couple of weeks ago was, healthcare will be the most disruptive industry in history. He's not saying in our lifetime. He's saying in history. And part of that is because of the dynamic changes to healthcare that have come during the pandemic. So it's a very exciting time for healthcare, but particularly for telehealth.
So, you know, my understanding of this is, as challenged as the healthcare market or industry has been to try to meet the challenges of COVID, in a way, healthcare may have become more accessible because of telehealth.
Yes, in the long term, I think it will. You know, telehealth has been around for probably what, 3 decades now, but it's never really exploded the way that, you know, all of us hoped it would, because of some barriers. So the first one was HIPAA, very strict HIPAA regulations. The second was licensure. So being able to provide care across state borders without being, you know, licensed in the state that you're connecting to. And the third, probably the most challenging, is the area of reimbursement. So not that many programs, you know, reimbursed for telehealth visits. And when they did, it was very specific types of visits and consults and that sort of thing. So when COVID hit, I'm telling you, it was within a 2-week period of time, HIPAA regulations were relaxed, everything started getting reimbursed, like the licensure issue went away. And these are changes now where everybody's realized, wow, not only is this good, and not only is it good enough, it's pretty great. And patients really prefer the experience of a telehealth visit in many situations over having to go into a clinic. Now, during COVID, obviously, you want to limit people going into a healthcare or going in public in general, right? But especially into a healthcare facility because of the opportunity for viral spread. So that's why it was so necessary to employ telehealth. But looking beyond the pandemic now, we've already demonstrated how cost-effective telehealth can be, how it expands your reach just dramatically. So think of rural areas or underserved areas. Now the door's wide open, and it's going to be affordable for healthcare organizations to expand into those areas because now there's a reimbursement process. So even things as simple, like when I talked about relaxing HIPAA regulations, you know, before you really didn't see a whole lot of telehealth to the handheld, like to the phone or to a tablet. And now, wow, that's a reimbursable visit, right? So the opportunities have just kind of exploded. And, you know, the interesting and exciting thing from my world, because I live in a little grants world, is that there's funding to pay for the video conferencing devices, for the peripherals, the scopes and things like that, for the network, that sort of thing. So it's a whole new world for telehealth, and I'm very excited to see what happens.
So help me understand a little bit about the connection between your grant program and this revolution in telehealth.
I always tell people the funding is always just the cherry on the sundae, right? I do a ton of webinars and people are like, how long do you need? I like to focus more on use case. So why the funding, how the funding is being used and why it's needed rather than the funding itself. But obviously the funding is important, right? How do you pay for those devices? How do you do a big capital project, which is that investment in the endpoints, right? The devices that connect to the network, not the ongoing, care that's delivered. That's the challenge for a lot of organizations. So we focus very heavily on grant programs and funding sources that will fund those endpoints and devices that let people develop these telehealth networks.
Now, what do I need to know about accessing your program with regard to healthcare?
Oh, well, for any questions or just, hey, I'd like to talk to you more about funding options, that sort of thing. You can reach us at grants@poly.com. And just, if you will, mention that you heard about us on the PhoneTel podcast.
Now, could you give us some use cases, maybe recently, of how your program's being utilized?
Oh my gosh, so many. again, healthcare can be very broad or very like subspecialty specific, but there's a grant program. We're about to get the second round of it actually through the FCC called the COVID-19 Telehealth Grant. And so the FCC usually runs funding programs, not necessarily grant programs. So there's more, it's more like, the E-rate for schools or the rural health program for rural health organizations that offsets the cost of bandwidth, that sort of thing, but not competitive grant. And in the first round of stimulus, they had $200 million set aside for this program. But it was more of a, hey, you have to submit a grant narrative. And in my opinion, they put out a very limited set of instructions and things like that. And people at the largest healthcare organizations struggled to comply or to respond in, an adequate way because the FCC wasn't real great about telling them how to do that. And just because we work on so many grants, I looked at what they put out there and I went, oh my gosh, I know they're going to want a budget. I know they're going to want a budget justification. And again, because we work with organizations across the US and we work with so many of them, we started getting immediate feedback about, snafus or speed bumps or big questions. And as we overcame those obstacles, it very quickly we consolidated like, oh, here's the path to getting this thing funded. Here's the path to submitting a really solid application. And we had really great success with the applications that were submitted in the first round. We got almost everything funded. And that was great, great news for our, for the people who actually worked with us on those. And the second round's about to come out, which is exciting.
We in the first part of our podcast series here, we were talking about education and we were talking about the challenge of getting not only the teachers and the schools properly equipped, but also the challenge of getting the students properly equipped. And it occurs to me with healthcare, there must be a lot of patients, a lot of people who may not even have internet in the home, may just have an old-fashioned phone. Does your program help mitigate that gap between patient and provider?
Sure, it would be less about my, our grant support and more about the grant programs that are out there, but there certainly are grant programs that focus on telehealth to the home or the ability to provide that. So things like providing hotspots for people who don't necessarily have video in the home or maybe a loaner tablet or something like that. The end user devices are absolutely part of some grant programs, not all of them.
And is it also involving institutions? Because I'm thinking there must be so many people in many of these senior care places that now must rely on remote telehealth.
Oh, sure. And telehealth is such a, I mean, it's a broad term, right? It can be everything from continuing medical education for healthcare professionals, all the way down to, skilled nursing facilities to e-sitting. Like that's one of the more fascinating ones to me. In a hospital, if you have somebody who requires a certain level of care, the hospital is required to have a person sit in that room to make sure the patient doesn't get out of bed and fall and hurt themselves, right? And so they're replacing that body with a video device, that kind of monitors that patient and would give somebody the ability to say, oh, patient A is trying to get out of bed, send somebody in there quickly. So, you know, everything down to very specialized, you know, cardiac care, telederm, every specialty and subspecialty you can think of, school-based health, you know, you name it. So a lot of programs, a lot of telehealth programs are pretty broad in nature. They let you define what type of telehealth you're interested in, and other ones are very specific. Hey, this is just about school-based health. So grants are part of the challenge of grants. It's just finding the grant that's going to be specific to what your organization is focused on and wants to accomplish.
In thinking of the channel partner readership, the MSPs and so on that we reach, how should they approach this?
You know, a lot of it is just educating yourselves, right? Understanding, hey, there is money out there. Hey, I resell that type of technology. You know, this is a great way, you know, not only for me to reach out and provide technologies that really are impactful during this horrific time, this pandemic, but also it's a great way to, you know, establish a relationship with the customer and, you know, provide, again, that value-added service. So I tell people all the time, we are a free resource. So partners actually get to offer support from my team as that value add. So it passes on through partners down to customers. So just, you know, the first step I would say is let us educate you on the funding that's out there, and then understand who your customers are. Who are you focused on? You know, who do you have relationships with? And then what type of funding is available for them, and helping you understand the technologies and the use case that align with that kind of vertical market segmentation, and just providing that support.
Well, Cheryl, I want to thank you today for giving us an overview of this part of your grant program. And I know earlier in the podcast, you gave us some information, but where can we find more resources on this?
Yeah, just contact us at grants@poly.com, and we're happy to answer any questions you might have.
And Nicole, I want to thank PhoneTel for sponsoring this special podcast. Mm-hmm. Where can we learn more about PhoneTel?
Yes, thank you, Doug, and thank you, Cheryl. It was all very informative. PhoneTel is a distributor for Poly products, and for all of your Poly needs or for any specific solutions or recommendations that you might need for your customers, please reach out to PhoneTel at www.fontel.com or send us an email at sales@phonetel.com. Thank you.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me. And I look forward to our next podcast on this very interesting topic of this grant program at Poly.